Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Share, the front family shir at Congregation Share Tefillah. We are learning, as always, the Zeichon Le'ilu and Ishmas, and Miriam Front, Miriam Baschaim Yitzchak, Alacha HaShalom, and Hashem should merit a continuous Aliyah Latova and Zechira Latova, and the merit of these Divrei Torah that we will share. We continue to thank the front family very much for their commitment to these Divrei Torah, the Zeichon Ishmas, their mother, Alacha HaShalom, and it's not just lip service. We say modim three times a day because every time we have to be thankful to the Baruch Shalom. Saying too, with Hakara Satov, it knows no bounds, and we are very grateful. You know, I'm smiling, please stop. I'm smiling when I see how long things sit in my sefer waiting to be told. Sometimes I keep, it's too noisy. Okay. I keep things in my sefer. I read something or I learn something. I should say I learn something. And then I say, oh, it's relevant to this in this class. And then I put it in the sefer of such and such a class. And it sits there till I think it's the right time to teach it. So I'm smiling because this is from Vayikra. The reason I'm smiling is this week's parsha is the double sedra. Bahar b'chukosai, Shabbat chazak. We're finishing Vayikra. This has literally been going every time we advance a page in the sefer, in Bavavi, specifically for this year. I don't have it in a different sefer, and it's waiting. So tonight's the right time. So as an ode to sefer Vayikra, which we are finishing this Shabbos, tonight you're going to get to Taurus of Vigdar, Vayikra, and it's related to learning, of course, which is why I have it here, waiting to be learned. So let's just talk about what we're speaking about. Last time we had a very cool, interesting shiur, quoting from Mishpacha magazine, Rabbi Dov Ber-Kohn and his trips to the Far East. And when he realized that everything in the Far East is rooted in Judaism, and all the way at the end, we discovered that his Rebbe is Rav Itamar Schwartz. Okay, fine. Clarifying each ratzon in the mixture. So what are we talking about? Just a 1 minute. I shouldn't say 1 second. 1 minute recap. What we're speaking about is finding your distinct ratzon. Every matter has every part of our personality, every desire has its own distinct will. Its own distinct desire, and instead of everything being like a mixed up salad, like, you know, like when you remember when you used to go into a certain store on Central Avenue, they say, do you want it tossed or chopped? So when you toss, you could taste the flavors a little better. Chopped, everything is all like pulverized. You can't taste anything. Remember that chopped? It's one of the noisiest restaurants on Central Avenue because they were always chop, 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 chop. So the problem is that when everything inside of you is all mixed up, it's very difficult to identify who you are, what you want, what your true ratzon is in your Avodas Hashem. In order to serve God properly, a person must separate all of the ingredients in the salad to be able to taste each and every one on its own. So that's where we are up to. You must separate, I just want to make sure this is working, you must separate each ratzon and understand it. Then each ratzon will have its own strength and its own light. To give a simple illustration, a salad made of tomatoes, red pepper, green pepper, cucumber, and lettuce. The mixture might be enjoyable, but you won't really taste individual ingredient. The same applies to one's soul, one's neshama. When the wills are mixed up, there is no single ratzon which can attain its true force and give forth proper light. Once each one becomes distinct and it's no longer intermingled in this mixture, every ratzon reveals its true nature. When a ratzon is distinct, you can work with it. If it is not distinct, you cannot work with it. So you need to identify ratzon and in order to be a proper Eved Hashem. Okay. When I read all the way back at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, Taurus Avigdor, Vayikra, offering up your ego, when I read this at the time, it reminded me of where we were holding in the Sefer, because the Karbanos are Leratzon. The Karbanos are Areach Nichoach Lirtzonchem. They are pleasing fragrance before God for an appeasement for you. They serve as a ratzon, so to speak, on our behalf towards the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Sefer Vayikra is known as Taurus Kohanim, the law book of the priest, so to speak, because it's everything that the Kohanim / Leviim from Shevet Levi do in the Mishkan. And Vayikra specifically is about the Seder Karbanos. Parts of Shemini, it deals with the karbanos that are brought in the Mishkan / Beit HaMikdash, Tazria Metzora, part of the purification process of the Metzora. We spoke about the Metzora last week, if you remember, from Rabbi Blachman. The Metzora also is to bring karbanos, so Taurus Kohanim is a lot about karbanos. So what does karbanos teach us about ourselves, about our ratzon, vis-a-vis, so to speak, God's ratzon? Now that's what Chazal tells in Pirkei Avos. I say, ritzono kirtzonecha. Make his, did I say it backwards? I say ritzon cha kirtzono. Which one? I say ritz, which one? Make his will your will. Why? Because if you make his will, you're serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. You want his will to be what you want. Only thing that I should want is do what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants of me, even if I don't understand, even if it's very difficult for me, even if my vision is limited in Olam HaSa. That's what it should be. It should be that his will is my will, and that's the only will that I should have. So let's talk about Rav Avigdor Miller, and I'm not reading you the entire kuntres, but I highlighted the sections that I want to teach, and I will be bringing some additional sources to some of the teachings. Here we go. Make his will like your will. Okay. Offering the false personality, Rav Avigdor Miller. The beginning of Sefer Vayikra, you're not smiling, that's the first verse, the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. What are we saying this week? The end of Sefer Vayikra. The beginning of Sefer Vayikra, to a very great extent, means the subject of Korbanos. Now, because we don't have it today, we aren't Zoche yet, it seems to be a subject that's very far away from us. This also ties into this time period of Sefer HaOmer very, very much, because the reason we count Sefer HaOmer, if you're counting, if you're a woman who has taken it upon yourself to count, women are not Mechuyev, but if you're counting, why do we count Sefer HaOmer? I don't want to get into the whole thing now, but people associate Rabbi Kiva and the Talmidim and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai more with Sefer HaOmer than the mitzvah d'oraisa. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa to count from the time you bring the Korban Omer to the time you bring the Mincha Chadash, Ashtei Halacha, Mechamitz Ta'afen, and Bikurim on Shavuos. It's an agricultural festival in Eretz Yisrael. This can be found in Parachav Gimel, Parashas Emor, beginning Pasuk Tes, through Pasuk, Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, the whole process, the Omer, the Korban Omer, it was a barley offering, it was ground, it was non-chametz, it was brought on the 16th of Nisan, and after the farmer brought the barley offering, he counted. Today's day one since I brought the Korban Omer. Today's day two since I brought the Korban Omer. Today would have been day 34 since I brought the Korban Omer. Counts 49 days, and on the 50th day he brings the wheat offering, two baked loaves, chametz te'afena, they're unusual because they're chametz, another offering, and that is how we celebrate on Shavuos. It's also known as Bikurim, so we're celebrating the two first of the Shivat HaMinim during this time period. You don't find anything about Rabbi Kiva or his Talmidim or Matan Torah in the Torah at all. It's a time to pray to Hashem for the success of the crops, and a time to give thanks for the success of the crops. So this also relates to the Karbanos of Korban Omer and the Shtei Halachim, because that's why we're counting on what were they karbanos. My point is that what Avigdor Miller says, since we don't have it today, we were in Zoche, it seems to be a subject very far away from us. And because it's so far away from us, maybe that's why we are not so, we don't internalize so much the mitzvah d'oraisa of Sefer HaOmer. We tend to focus more on Rabbi Kiva and his students. It's something we could relate to more. It's harder for us to relate to the topic of Korbanos. But that's why we're counting, but it's so far away from us. However, I'm going to show you, says Rabbi Avigdor Miller, what we do have now. In one sense, we have the opportunity now, even more than when we had the Beis HaMikdash. How could that be? We have an opportunity more to offer up a korban than when we had the Beis HaMikdash. In Masechet Sanhedrin, I did not look at Masechet Sanhedrin, I'm quoting Avigdor Miller. The Gemara says the following, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Kol hazoveach es yitzro. Kol hazoveach es yitzro. Whoever shechts, whoever sacrifices, whoever offers up his yetzer hara, umisvada elav, and he confesses upon it, he speaks of vidui, Ma'ala alav hakasuv ki'ilu kibdo l'akosh baruch hu b'shnei olamim. So the Torah considers it as if he honored Hashem in both worlds, olam haza ve'olam haba. Anyone who is zoveyach es yitzro, he slaughters, he offers, he brings to God his yetzer hara, umisvada alav, and he says a vidui over it. This is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, it's considered as if he honors a Kosh Baruch Hu in both worlds, olam haza, this world, ve'olam haba, and the next world, shenemar, like the pasuk says, zoveach toda yechabdenani, yechabdenani, with two nuns. I'm not saying it wrong, two nuns. Could be I'm saying it wrong, no nekudos here, but there are two nuns. Whoever slaughters an offering will honor me. But the word yechabdinani is not yechabduni with one nun. It has two nuns. It's taken as a hint. If you slaughter your yetzer hara, it's considered you've done a great honor to the Almighty in which worlds? Two worlds, not one. You brought honor to Hashem in two worlds. Now we have to understand, says Rav Avigdor Miller, what does this mean? Someone who slaughters his yetzer, a person's inclination. There are all kinds of inclinations in a person, which is really what our author is telling us. We have all these ratzons mixed up. The ratzon for food, the ratzon for doing inappropriate things, the ratzon for watching inappropriate things, the ratzon for posting inappropriate things. We have all kinds of ratzon inside of ourself. So what does it mean that you offer up your inclination? What inclination? There are all kinds of inclination in a person. And even if we say yitzo means the yetzer hara, let's say you say it means the evil inclination, it needs specification because there are all kinds of different evil inclinations, which is really what our author is saying. You have to identify one single ratzon in order to conquer it, to subdue it, to control it, to channel it. There are all different kinds of evil inclinations. And we understand it doesn't mean you can kill the Yetzer Hara, because such a thing is impossible. There's no such thing. I know. The greatest tzaddik, as long as he is on this side of the grave, he has to struggle with his evil inclination. They asked Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, it's brought in the biography, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Levracha, asked Rav Steinman, is there a Musar Sefer that they can learn to be Mechazik and overcome the Yetzer Hara? And he replied back and he said, do you think I know a classified Musar Sefer that the Yetzer Hara hasn't discovered yet? You need to sit down, you need to learn something. Whatever you learn, the Yetzer Hara is going to make an appearance, you need to conquer. And this line, I don't know if anyone remembers, but probably like 2 months ago, I said, I'm quoting one line from Rabbi Victor Miller, even though I'm skipping ahead. I wonder if anyone remembers. Many times young people come to me with problems with their Yetzer Hara. They ask me, how long, Rabbi Miller, will I have to struggle with my Yetzer Hara? So I tell them, it's only the first 120 years. I don't know if anyone remembers. Yes, Esti Klein and Malachi, you remember? Yeah. So I said that, I don't know, 6-7 weeks ago. I had already read Vayikra Torah of Avigdor. Vayikra Tzav Shmini Tazria Matzora Achmas Kadoshim Emor Bahar B'chukos. There were a lot of double parshios. So 7 weeks ago. And I said, I'm just going to read one line from Rav Avigdor Miller. I don't remember what the class was about 7 weeks ago. And that was the line. So I come this here by Miller. So I'm young. How long am I going to have to struggle with these problems with my evil inclination? And I say to them, it's only the first 120 years. What else could I say? That's the plain truth. Just make up your mind. It's a permanent feature of the landscape. It's going to be around always. Of course, you should not yield to it. It's very hard. You cannot fail. Besides, those who give it more dominion over them, they become enslaved. And when you become enslaved, the fight is even bigger. But everyone, as long as he is alive, will have this test in life. Because that's what life is for. To be tested. So how long will I have to struggle with the Yetzer Hara? 120 years. Not so long. That's 120 years, the entire time you're here. And so it's not possible for anyone to slaughter the Yetzer Hara while he's alive. And that's why the Mishnah famously tells us, Ezu Giber Kovish is Yetzer Hara, Perek Dal, which we read last week. Ezu Giber Kovish as Yetzer Hara. Doesn't say Ezu Giber Hahoreg as Yetzer Hara, because it's impossible a harog as a Yetzer. Doesn't say he was a mighty warrior, one who slaughters or kills the evil inclination. Rather, it's one who overcomes or conquers the evil inclination. And that's why Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi didn't speak about killing the evil inclination in this piece of Gemara. He doesn't talk about getting rid of it. You can't slay the Yetzer. Sacrifice, bring an offering. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Kol hazoveach as Yetzer, not kol hahoreg, kol hazoveach, anyone who slaughters. And so we have to go back and understand, what is this Yetzer that we can offer up as a korban? What is the sacrifice that's considered the most important offering? Now he quotes the Chovas HaLevavos. The Chovas HaLevavos makes a statement. You know, you said a number of things happen, say you're tired. Sometimes we're just tired from the regular, not uneventful things, just the Yetzer Hara, he's tiring. He's tiring, and he's there from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to sleep. How long do I need to struggle with him? 120 years, that's it. The Chovas HaLevavos makes a statement. The Chovas HaLevavos says, Hagaiva Rosh Kol Chatas. Gaiva, pride, is the head of all sins. This means as follows. One's self-importance is the cause of all misdeeds. That's what Victor Miller is saying. Hagaiva, the gaiva is the head of all sin, and that is the root. The true root of the evil inclination is desire. What does it mean, gaiva? It means, Rachman Tzom vis-a-vis the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what he's going to explain. I want things to be this way. I want, I feel, I ask, I demand, I planned. I what?
I phone.
Words in isolation are hard for me to hear because I don't have any contextual cues.
Like if someone says they went somewhere for Friday night and she made delicious something soup and served it with lakshin and knedelech, and I didn't hear what kind of soup. Mm-hmm. Contextual cues and an educated guess will allow me to understand that she's saying chicken soup. But if you say a word in isolation, there are no contextual cues. So you can repeat it 5 times. It doesn't help. You need to say it a different way. On the phone? No, I hate the phone. Do you mean?
I could have done pantomime.
Oh. Or you could say the device we use to talk.
Okay.
And, last night we had...
And many other things are called I. Things are all called I today.
Other things that have I, right.
Like even the we is spelled with
yes,
I.
Correct. My friend Esther Gumman pointed out to me a bunch of years ago as well. Like last night we had in our backyard, my in-laws came, my sister-in-law and her family came, my kids came, so we had a barbecue and a bonfire and music, Baruch Hashem, it was very, very nice. So my daughter-in-law said, in the backyard, we had like the porch light, so she said, you should have string lights. I was telling Abba, she said, because there's like trees, we should have string lights. So I said, what? I didn't hear what she was saying. So she said, string. Again, I didn't know what she was saying because it's not a word that I have an education that I could fill in. Okay, I guess. So I said to her, you need to say it a different way. So she says, the only different way I could think of was Xmas lights. So I said, that's what you should have said. At least I would have known what you were saying. I'm just talking because I didn't know what you were saying. Okay, so when you deal with people who have a hearing loss, it's not your fault. I understand, Baruch Hashem, you can't relate. You should try and just be sensitive. That's saying the same word. I'm not saying you're insensitive. You don't understand. Baruch Hashem, you don't. You're saying the same word 5 times in isolations won't help. Because I still don't have contextual cues. So I still don't know what you said. So that's a very important public service announcement. No, I'm not joking. I'm actually being very serious. Okay, it's something we teach in oral rehab. My degree's in audiology. A-U-R-A-L rehab. A-U-R-A-L is hearing. Oral rehab, something that we teach the clients about advocating for themselves or anticipatory clues or looking for contextual clues. This is something that we train people to help themselves communicate better. Okay. Let's go. So in other words, what's the gaiva? The gaiva is I. One's self-importance is the cause of all misdeeds. The true root of the evil inclination is the desire to do what you wish to do. Not the desire to have pleasure. That's not the real Yetzirah. Not the desire to acquire things. These are both Yetziraras. Not the desire to sin or eat forbidden foods. Those are all desires and those are all averos. But the root of all averos is exercising your desire, your will, what I want, the Anochi. That's the secret of the Yetzer Hara. There's an urge in mankind that we call the ego. Me ego means I in Latin. The urge of the I of a person must express itself. That's the Anochi. I want to emphasize my Anochi as much as possible. Actually, if you're a little bit experienced with human beings, you'll know many times that's really all a person desires, that his Anochi should be expressed. That's what he really wants the most, to be recognized. Let's say you deal with customers and they come with complaints. Or if you're a rabbi, you deal with people and their complaints, he says. What people want more than anything, I thought that this was very, very interesting because it's really a very important tool in interpersonal relationships, especially in parenting, and not only parenting, but a teacher to students, or a rabbi to talmidim. What the people want more than anything is you should just recognize their complaints. You don't always have a solution, but they just want you to recognize the complaint. Whether you'll do anything about it or not, in most cases, is irrelevant. People come and enumerate their woes. They're most interested that someone should just recognize that their problems are problems. In English today, in psychology, what do we call this? It starts with a V.
Validation?
Exactly. It's exactly. So Malki Soltam at the same time that Chai said it. It's validate. They just want to be validated. So it's very interesting. This just happened. One of my kids has to do a certain assignment in school. And it was really due over a month ago. And they were prepared at the time. But because of circumstances beyond everyone's control, it got pushed off and pushed off and pushed off and pushed off. And now it's due. And the child said, it's not fair. I was ready a month ago. I'm not ready now. Pesach came. A lot happened between then and now, and it's complicated material. But now the assignment's due. So I had two choices. I could say, well, it is what it is, so you did it then, just prepare. What I said was, you're right, it's not fair. And it really wasn't fair, because everyone else, for whatever reason, got to do it a month and a half ago when it was due. And there was a certain reason that was beyond people's control, and then things just snowballed. And now the child's not familiar with the material anymore. Kids are kids. It's not like they're chazering every day for a month and a half what they need to present. So I said, you're right, it's not fair. But now this is what has to be done. And that's really, they're satisfied that they express their personality. And even though they told you the purpose of coming might be to ask advice, in this case it wasn't to ask advice, it was just to complain, or vent, I should say, not complain, vent. If you show them you recognize their personality, that's what counts. Whatever you do subsequently is secondary, because the person is more interested in demonstrating the personality than actually getting advice. There's a story told over, I didn't think about it till right now, or I read about the Sefer and the Reb David Feinstein biography, even though you should know I prepared this like 5 times, and I'm not joking, because I think every class I'm going to get to it. And tonight I said we're ending Vayikra. We're getting to it. So every time I prepare, I think of new things. It's not the same preparation. It's not like I saw this a month and a half ago, and now I put it away. No, really, I prepare anew every time. So I just saw something now that I didn't think of. Reb David Feinstein biography. Reb David Feinstein biography, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. One time he was sitting in the base medrash after davening, and he was talking to one of the local men from the Lower East Side who had come for the warmth of the Rosh Hashiva and the camaraderie. And he was sitting next to Reb David Feinstein, and he said to Reb David Feinstein, last night in bingo, I won $20. And a Talmud, Posek Hador. And a Talmud came to the base medrash door, and he motioned to the Rosh Hashiva that he had a phone call from another Rosh Hashiva. People from all over would call Reb David Feinstein for Piske Alacha. So while Reb David Feinstein is talking to the man who won bingo, someone comes to the door and he says, the Rosh Hashiva is a phone call from such and such Rosh Hashiva. Reb David Feinstein did not acknowledge, did not interrupt his conversation with the man next to him. He kept talking and he said, that's so interesting. It must be a very hard game. How did you win? $20 is a lot of money. And the man beamed with pride. I could tell you what page it's on when I get home if you're interested. The man, I'm not being up, beamed with pride. And he was so proud to tell Rosh Hashiva how well he played a bingo and he won $20. And the guy at the door motions again to Reb David Feinstein that he has a phone call. Reb David Feinstein didn't get. And he said to the man, can I come with you next week? Not like making chayzak. And the man started laughing and he said, you can't come with me because you're much smarter than me. And if you come with me, I won't win. Because you'd win. And after that, Reb David Feinstein went to take a call. And the Talmud says at that point he realized that Reb David Feinstein understood Pikuach Nefesh much better than he did. But a person wants us to be heard. There's not always something that we need someone to tell us to do or to give a solution. Sometimes we just want someone not to negate who we are and what we're saying.
I think most often people don't want solutions.
Say it again.
That most often people don't want solutions.
Don't want to.
Don't want your solutions. They just want to talk it out.
That's exactly what he's saying.
Right.
That's exactly what Avigdor Miller is saying.
That.
Yeah, that's exactly what Avigdor Miller is saying. That's exactly what Rav Avigdor Miller is saying. They're most interested that someone should just recognize the problem. It doesn't have to be about giving a solution. Even a little baby, he's not aware of what he wants, but he has within him that urge to be recognized. He's standing in the crib. He might be lying in his diapers. That's what it says here. And he already has a personality. He wants attention. Anochi, I'm here. Now, as he grows up and he becomes capable of knowing more, he attaches his ego to certain objectives. He wants to be recognized for wit or for wisdom or for money or for pleasure. But the point is, what he's saying is that all of our Yetzer Haras are really one Ratzon. The Ratzon of... I. That's exactly right. So all these other things, I want to eat cake, I want to speak Lashonah, I want to read the book, I want to see the R-rated movie, I don't know, I want to dress on sneeze because it's 100 degrees in the summer. Use your own example of whatever your Yetzer is. But the point is, what Victor is saying is they're not separate Ratzons. There's really only one Ratzon within us. And that Ratzon is what I want. And then it has different expressions. But as soon as he's born, it's already there. Only he doesn't know how to exercise it. He doesn't know what it's called. But he stands up by the crib and he says, Anochi, I'm here. It's not geared to any particular goal, but it's there. His personality, his desire, his eye is already there. Of course, as we grow, we have to learn how to channel. Because we can't kill it. And we're not supposed to care. If we were supposed to care, Hashem would have given us the kochos to do so. We have to learn how to channel it to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, please don't misunderstand this word ego. Rav Avigdor Milner says something very important. Do not translate in the sense that the Welt translates it. He says, that's not what I'm referring to. We're talking now about what people call personality, but we have to make a distinction between your true personality and your fictional personality. And that depends on the ego. There's an intrinsic personality, a true personality, and that's something that won't be sacrificed no matter what. Your personality is who you are. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want you to forgo that. Your true personality will never be sacrificed. In other words, your internal you, your talents, abilities, and capabilities. If you go, remember, I don't remember when, but we are learning about all the layers that cover up the neshama. I have no idea how long ago it was in the Sefer. Layers that cover up the neshama. But there's something inside of you, and that's you. And that's not going to change. And Hashem doesn't want you to sacrifice that. But there's an artificial personality that's encouraged by the Yetzer Hara, and that's the ego, the Anochi. So the ego does not mean what the Welt says the ego means. The ego is your false personality, the Anochi, that covers up the true personality. That also relates to the Sefer, because remember, this whole piece is based on Ritzoneinu Laso Ritzoncha, our will is to do. I think it's something Yud Zayin, Rosh Hashanah, not Rosh Hashanah, Brachos, Michal, Brachos Yud Zayin. I don't know why I said Rosh Hashanah, Ritzoneinu Laso Ritzoncha. I'll give you an example, so we should understand what we're talking about, says Rav Avigdor Milner. Let's say you're living with a wife, or she's living with a husband, and one of the two did or said something exasperating. So what happens? The Yetzer Hara, the false personality, rises up and says, I have to stand my ground. I have to put my foot down. What, am I going to be a pushover? That's the immediate reaction. The raw reaction that wells up in a person, that's the Yetzer Hara, the false ego speaking. I'm not a pushover. I'm speaking up. I have to stand my ground. They came to Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, same biography, the art school biography, it's unbelievable, Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, that's all. And they asked for advice for Shalom Bayis, and he said three things, be mevater, be mevater, be mevater. If you want to know what the advice for Shalom Bayis is be mevater. So someone came to him, advice for Shalom Bayis, and they asked Rav Steinman to do. So he says, you should be mevater. So the man said to him, that's what I've been telling my wife for 50 years, and he doesn't listen. Rav Steinman says, you've been married for 50 years, and you still haven't figured out to be mevater. So what does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say? He tells us the greatness of a person is when he or she takes that ego and offers it as a korban. Again, not your internal self, not your pure neshama, lo kai neshama nasat b'tahorihi, not the pure soul within you, the external part of yourself, which is what we call the ego. Instead of letting the ego assert yourself, you take that raw emotion, you sacrifice it to Hashem as a korban. You're thinking in your head, I know what my ego wants me to do, but I'm not going to be a fool this time. This time I'm going to sacrifice my I. I'm going to overlook it. I'm not going to reply. I'm not going to stand my ground. That's the carbon Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is talking about. Please understand that when we talk about these and other related inyanim, and we do not mean, no one should think we mean, exceptional cases where, God forbid, for example, there's something like verbal abuse. It doesn't mean in a case of those kind of situations, a person should be meek and stand their ground and be quiet. When we're talking about situations of pikuach nefesh, whether, God forbid, it's physical pikuach nefesh or spiritual, emotional, psychological pikuach nefesh, it doesn't mean you should just be quiet. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking that in that case you have to get help from a professional, from a rav, from somebody you trust. Okay, so please don't misunderstand anything that we're saying tonight. That's not what we're encouraging. It means in normal day-to-day reactions and interactions with other people. And we all know such examples where we're not talking about, God forbid, you know, verbal abuse or dominion. That's not what we mean. That people say things that annoy us, and people say things that we think we're right and they think they're right. We're talking about the small things that you can be bevater, that it is not important to stand your ground. Now, many people blanch, so that's very important to clarify. It's on record. Don't misunderstand. Now, many people blanch at such an idea. What do you mean? I should let people step all over me? I should let them walk all over me? I won't assert myself? That's a false personality talking. The false personality is someone who is powerful, domineering, has to be victorious. That's his idea of personality, but it's the ego, it's the false I that it's asserting itself. And when you are makriv, offer, korban, makriv, that false personality, what's the immediate result? The true personality thereby becomes improved. When you sacrifice the false personality, the ego, the I, the real personality inside of yourself. So as the false personality diminishes, the true personality increases. As the false personality decreases in value, the true personality increases in value. It becomes so ennobled, it achieves a characteristic that will remains with it forever. That's the intrinsic personality. Now, because a person's Yetzer Hara is always asserting itself constantly, again and again. How long will I have to deal with this? 120 years. That's it, not a long time. I know.
Well, eternity.
Well, no, you don't need to deal with it in eternity.
That's what I'm saying. The first 120 years, but then there's eternity and you won't have it.
Right. That's true. There's eternity and you don't have it. But if you weren't able to slaughter it when you're here, what does eternity look like? I don't know.
Well, the goal is to work on it.
Of course. To slaughter it, to offer it, to make it a carbon, to conquer it, to hold your tongue, of course.
And we need the Yetzer Hara.
What?
The Yetzer Hara is something we really need.
So the Medrash says that very clearly. By Maisa Bereishis, Perak Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Aleph of Sefer Bereishis, V'ayelokim es kol ha'sha'asa v'hinei tov ma'od. The Erevi, Boker Yom HaShishi, it's the last Pasuk in Perak Aleph of Bereishis. Chazal say very clearly, what is tov ma'od? There's many different things. Ma'od is Adam, but what is tov ma'od? The Yetzer Hara. Tov ma'od is the Yetzer Hara. If you ask me, my Yetzer Hara is not tov ma'od. Yes, because Chazal say without the Yetzer Hara, a person would not build a home. He would not plant a vineyard. He would not marry a wife. He would not populate the world. Chazal say the Yetzer is tov me'od, because an aspect of the Yetzer Hara is that he ennobles us sometimes constructively and creatively. And that's why we talk about channeling as opposed to destroying. Because without the Yetzer Hara, Chazal say, the world would cease to be. No one would be interested in being a parnasa. There would be no economy. Nobody would be interested in farming or growing. Nobody interested in marriage. Nobody interested in family. And then everyone would just die. One generation would be over with. So the Yetzer Hara can be good if it compels us. Or no. If we manage to channel it and we compel it to use its forces for the good. Now, because a person's Yetzer Hara's false personality is always asserting itself, constantly, again and again, it's pushing its way to the forefront of your emotions and your thoughts. It becomes one of the greatest opportunities in a person's life. That's the next sentence. It becomes one of the greatest opportunities in a person's life. Page 7. It's the opportunity that we began the lecture with tonight. You can be a person who is always bringing Karbanos Tasham. So we don't have the Karban Pasach. We don't have the Karban Omer. We don't have the Shtei Alachem. We don't have the Ola and Chatas that the Tumas HaYolades brings. We don't have the Karbanos of the Mitzora. We don't have a Karban Toda. Those were one-time Karbanos. I mean, not one-time. Pesach Karban was one-time annually. But Rav Victor Miller says, you could bring a Karban always to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where was the sentence? 1 second. To be a person who has always been Karbanos Hashem, even more so than a person who lived in the ancient days of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what the Gemara says. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, no, it's fine. Thank you so much. Ba'u re'e kama gedolim nimuchei haruach ufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come see how lowly of spirit are so great before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Listen carefully, it's unbelievable. When a Beis HaMikdash stood, Adam Makriv Ola, a person would bring an Ola offering, a sacrifice, a burnt offering that was totally burnt to God. When it's burnt on the altar, the Ola is the choicest kind of offering because the carbon Ola is totally burnt up. On the spectrum of Karbanos, there are Karbanos when the Baal Karban eats the whole thing, like the Karban Pasach, there's not allowed to be any left over. That's how you go in a Chabura, to make sure that it's all eaten. And then at the opposite end of the spectrum, you have the Korban Ola, which totally goes to God. It's not for a person at all. Then in between, you have a division of parts between the Korban, between the Mizbech, between the Kohen, and between the Baal Korban. An Ola offering is totally Kulo Lashem. That's what Yitzchak was, by the way. He's commanded to be Valeu la'ola al acharar mishareka. It doesn't say Valeu la'korban. What kind of korban specifically was Yitzchak to be? An ola, totally la'ashem. So let's go back. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Baal rei kama gedolim nemuchei ruach ifnei Kodesh Baruch Hu. Come see how great those who are of lowly spirit before God. Shebishah shebeis hamikdash kayam adam makruv ola. The time the Beis HaMikdash, that a person brought an Ola offering. Nothing remains for the owner to eat, says Rav Avigdor Miller, even the Kohanim. It's the most unselfish kind of offering because the whole animal is for God. Schar Ola Biyado. So if a person in the time of the temple brought an Ola, he got a reward for bringing an Ola offering. Mincha, if he brought a Mincha offering, flour and oil. Schar Mincha Biyado. He gets a reward for bringing a Mincha. Whatever the specific reward was for that type of korban, that's what you're credited with. Bring an ola, you get a reward. If it was a mincha, you get a mincha reward. But you only get a reward for the offering you brought, because that's what you brought. You don't get more reward. You might get a reward for holding back mashar, but you don't get more reward than the offering you just brought. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi continues, Misha da'ato shefela. But a person who lowers himself down, das literally means his intellect, his mind. Doesn't literally mean mind, it means intellect, a measure of wisdom. Misha dato shefela, someone who humbles himself, he makes himself low. It means he offered up his ego, his yetzer. Ma'ala alava kasuv, kilu hikriv kol her karbanas kulam. Misha datosh, he doesn't have to answer back. And again, we already clarified, and it's very important, because I don't want anyone to say that Michal Horowitz said that in those extreme situations, you should just be quiet. Any bal seichel, that's not what we mean. We're talking about when you can look away, and those are much more relevant and much more prevalent. The times when someone says something that they shouldn't say. The time someone said something to me recently, I could not believe what they said. I could not believe how insensitive, unthoughtful, is that a word?
Yes.
Inappropriate, thoughtless, that they said. I couldn't believe it. I didn't say anything. I didn't tell anyone what they said. I actually just did because my daughter came to me. I didn't tell her who it was. Someone said something to her and she was very upset. She came to me. So I shared this with her without saying who it was. I said, sometimes people say things that are not so smart. So I'm not talking about a case of abuse. Sometimes people, I was shocked. I'm not going to say what it was. I was shocked. Happens all the time. I'm not the only person this ever happened to. People just say things that are thoughtless. They just don't think. So I'm not talking about the times when, God forbid, you're in a mamash, a case of abuse. Chalila, no. The other times when you could just look away. People really say things that are dumb. They shouldn't say them. I'm sure sometimes it's me who says them. In fact, I just asked somebody a question on Monday. I was on a fast walk yesterday morning. Early morning, and I passed a non-Jewish woman. She was wearing a hoodie, a light pink hoodie, and the hood was over her head. And the front of the sweatshirt in big letters said, 1 minute, let me overthink this. And I loved it. I don't know if other people overthink, Michal Horowitz overthinks. I said something to someone on Monday that I thought to myself, I shouldn't have said that. I asked the question. I thought it wasn't appropriate. I shouldn't have asked that. I didn't know what to do. So this morning I sent a voice note and I apologized. I said, I try and be a thoughtful, sensitive person. I apologize, whatever, I don't want to say what it was. And I shouldn't have said it and I apologized. So the person who said it was really insensitive. I was overthinking maybe. She said back, you have no reason to apologize, whatever. Sometimes we all say things that are wrong. So in those situations when you're on the receiving end and you da to shefela, you lower yourself. You don't need to be the person who answers back. You answer with grace. You hold your tongue. Ma'ala alava kasuv kilu hikuv kol har kabanos kulo. The Torah considers it as if he brought all the korbanos in the world. And he quotes a pasuk of Yeshua ben Levi, Zivche Elokim Ruach Nishbra. It's from Nun Aleph of Tilm, which I happen to say every day. Zivche Elokim, the Zavach of God, the offering of God, is Ruach Nishbra. Lev Nidke V'Nivze. Lev Nidke V'Nishbra Elokim No Tivze. A heart that is contrite and broken, God does not reject. When a man breaks his spirit, When he shechts the false image of himself, it's considered as if he brought many karbanos. Zivchei Elokim, offerings to Elokim. In other words, David HaMelech says in chapter 51 of Tehillim, Zivchei, it's plural, not Zavach Elokim, Zivchei, the sacrifices, plural, Ruach Nishbar, a broken spirit. Doesn't say how many. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says it means all the offerings. Because of his humility of spirit, he's given credit as if he brought all the offerings at once. You got so much shkar. You brought an ola, a mincha, I'm quoting, a shlamim, a chatas, and any other carbon you read about in Sefer Vayikra, that's what you get reward from. Now that's something that should grab our attention. This is an unequaled opportunity. To bring even one carbon, it's a tremendous achievement. Finding favor, l'ratzon l'fanai, of finding favor in the eyes of Hashem. To bring all the karbanos? He says this is a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Remember, the word karban is from the word karav. Ani kirvas Elokim litov, says David HaMelech. To be close to God is good. Karav is to come close to Hashem. Through the karbanos, we have an opportunity to come close to Hashem. So Victor Miller says, through the karbanos of Lev Nishbar Venidka, through the karban of Dato Shefela, through the karban of humbling yourself. So yeah, someone said something to me that was shocking. Really, I can't believe that people say these things. I just smiled. I said no, and that was it. I'm not saying I'm such a gadol. No, I'm not at all. But we have to learn to slaughter our yetzer if we're on the receiving end of very silly comments that can be overlooked. That's the closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that can't be matched. And we're learning now, it all depends on the midah of humility. But I have 30 seconds. By crushing the false ego that constantly wells up in a person's emotions. So the true root of all of our sins is my ratzon. Whether it's ben Adam l'chaveiro, or ben Adam l'makom, or even ben Adam l'atzmo. It's what I want trumps what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. And when we learn to slaughter that I, so in other words, he's saying that that's root of all sins. Whatever expression it has, there's really only one ratzon. That one ratzon for the ra is the Yetzirah. But yes, like we said, sometimes the Yetzirah is productive. It's an opportunity because without the Yetzirah, man would not be successful in the world. We wouldn't have any drive to do anything. So we need to learn how to channel him. And when we channel him, that's a message of Sefer Vayikra. Even today, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, it's as if he brought kol ha-karbanos kulo, azavach, amincha, chatas, atoda, shlamim, pesach, a karban omer, put them all on the list. It's as if he brought everything before the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, alavai. How long am I going to have to work on this? 120. Only 120 years. It's a very big avodah, but the Ribbono Shel Olam should give us the siyata d'shmaya to continue to identify what our ratzon really is, so that we can overcome and serve the Ribbono Shel Olam as if we brought all the karbanos before him. This year should be as chas ali and hashama for Miriam Fron, Miriam Baschai Mitzik, Allah al-Sham, and we thank the Fron family. Oh, very much. Oh, next week, Shir is on Tuesday night. Next week, Shir is on Tuesday at 8:30 Zoom only. Okay? I will post a reminder on the WhatsApp chat on Tuesday to remind you. And Shari will be sending out the email as well. But next week, the shir is Tuesday evening. The Shari dinner is Wednesday night. Achaz in front is being honored. As I mentioned last week, the next week, I don't know what's the day next week. Tuesday, what?
The 16th.
Tuesday the 16th, okay? 8:30 Zoom only.
What? The White Shul dinner.
Okay. The White Shul dinner? So that's not...
Not you.
We both have the same...
Yes.
That's why it's a schus to get a bracha from somebody who is publicly humiliated and they don't answer back. Like the person who holds back from being berated publicly because they're considered like somebody who brought
a carbon. Oh, very nice. Okay, but the other thing is, I don't remember where it's brought down, but that if you do that, you should utter a tefillah for yourself. It's a time to utter a tefillah for yourself. Maybe that's also why, because it's like you're standing in the Beis HaMikdash, bring a karban. What more powerful time? That's the true avoda. There's mancha Beis HaMikdash Hayakayim. Avoda was not tefillah. Perka Avas, Perka Aleph, Mishnah Beis. Rabbi Yonah explains beautifully there how karbanos are now tefillah, but maybe that's why a person can utter a tefillah for themselves. Because when you hold back,
and offer yourself that false personality as a karban, you're really like you're standing in the base of Mikdash, offering karbanos to Baal Shem. Yes?
So at that point, you thank Hashem for bringing back...
If you're on that madriga. If you're on that madriga, you say thank you, Hashem. One second. The week of Shavuos is Thursday night, isn't it?
Yeah,
we don't change here for that. Yantav is Thursday night. Okay, thank you so much, everybody. Thank you. Have a good Shabbos. Okay.